Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. All right, anybody thinks they have some rhythm. If you get a couple drinks in you, Funches, you know what I'm talking about. Get a couple drinks in you, all of a sudden you think you're the greatest dancer on the dance floor.
Happens to me all the time.
That's how it goes. That's how it goes. And if you look at the lineup, Funch, let's be real here. Look at the lineup at the station, and we had to say, you know, kind of rank some of these dancers. I'm not going to be in the front of the list as the worst one. We got some ethnicity, I think, helps with the rhythm. So let's always keep that in mind. Appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll go till 9 o'clock tonight. All right, great things to get into, and I'm actually very, very excited. Coming up at 7 o'clock, Marley Rivera, national baseball writer plus reporter for ESPN, she'll join the show. What a shock! We're going to spend some time talking a little Major League Baseball, and we'll spend time of it's comical. This whole thing is comical. Let me stay on baseball. Later in the show, we'll get into basketball, again, the NFL. We'll get into what Dr. Anthony Fauci had said about football. So we're going to do all that. But why would we expect anything different from baseball? Did this yesterday. I love working with Kirk Morrison. We're doing the show yesterday. And I was telling Kirk, I'm like, Kirk, I was so excited during the day because I thought in my mind, okay, here we go. You know what? We had some momentum coming with the NBA. Now we're going to get that momentum coming with Major League Baseball. I don't know why I fool myself. We have the blueprint right here. Have you not been following over the last couple months what happens with baseball? There's bitching. There's bickering. There's complaining. There's pointing fingers. There's getting fans excited. And then nothing. Right? That's kind of pretty much how it's gone over the last couple of months. Nobody really cares about the negotiations. That's the reality. You know, I really mean this when I say it. Nobody cares that the owners are upset. Nobody cares that Major League Baseball, they understood it this way and that the Players Association, you know, misinterpreted what Rob Manfred said. Nobody cares. That all that back and forth that's been going on for so long, I think most fans are at a point where all they want to do, just give us an answer one way or the other. Right? I mean, and don't get me wrong. Of course, they want to hear the right answer. The answer they want to hear is, okay, baseball is back. And baseball is going to come back, and it's going to be 65 games. Or it's going to be 70 games. Or it's going to be 60 games. Whatever the structure ends up being. But I think it's safe to say that most that are out there, they don't need all this ancillary noise. They don't. And there's been many. You know, there's been obviously plenty of ancillary noise, and I'll spend some time with that ancillary noise. You know, what Tony Clark said today, what Rob Manfred said. We'll do that. And I do that partly because it's my job, but I'm also going to just give my opinion. My opinion is I think most baseball fans out there, they're kind of tired of it. You know, they're tired of the back and forth. They don't care anymore. They don't care about pointing a finger and trying to make sure that they mention this is on the players. Or, oh my gosh, the owners are so greedy. I think for the most part, they're past that. Life, a lot of times it just works its way out in two ways. Number one, find a way to get results. You make things happen. You find a way to get over the hurdles. Yes, there's going to be things in the way, but you find a way to make it happen. Another way of doing things, you just make excuses. You draw things out. You talk about why you can't do it. Doesn't that seem like this just been Major League Baseball? And I don't even care, or not, I don't care. I don't even know where baseball fans stand on this. Do you care anymore about getting these baseball updates, or do you just want to know it's happening or it's not happening? You know, do you feel like you're more taking that stance of just let me know when it happens, or let me know when it doesn't happen? And look, we can talk about it on the show. We can discuss what it would look like, all that stuff. But really, I think at the end of the day, what people really want to hear is We're moving forward with baseball. This is what it's going to look like. And just give us a couple days to cross our T's and dot our I's and let's move forward. That hasn't been the case. Tony Clark a little bit earlier today. It's kind of funny too, because I sit here and I say that we don't want to hear any of the noise. I don't need to hear the back and forth. Why are you guys negotiating through the media? Stop telling all these reporters and everything else, giving them all this information so they could tweet it out. Everybody gets excited and then nothing happens. And with all that said, here I am about to read off what Tony Clark did. So Tony Clark said earlier today, in my discussions with Rob Manfred in Arizona, we explored a potential pro rata framework, but I made clear repeatedly in that meeting and after it was there were a number of significant issues with what he proposed, in particular the number of games. It is unequivocally false to suggest that any tentative agreement or other agreement was reached in that meeting. In fact, in conversations within the last 24 hours, Rob invited a counterproposal for more games that he would take back to the owners. We submitted that counterproposal today. Okay, Rob Manfred. I told him 70 games was simply impossible given the calendar and the public health situation, and we went ahead and made that proposal anyway. And he went ahead and made that proposal anyway. Okay, so here's where we are now. We're sitting at the exact same place we've been sitting at for, you could say, the last couple of months. I mean, I'm one to believe, and I've tried kind of emphasizing this over the last couple of weeks, a deal is going to happen. The question is just, when is that deal going to happen? How long is it going to be drawn out? Of course it's going to happen. It's impossible that it doesn't happen. Plus, they're now this close where the owners were at 48 games. Now the owners are up to 60 games. The players at one point, you know, we're at 114 games, even though you only had about 80 or 90 days to, you know, play baseball. That obviously wasn't going to happen. But one of their final couple of deals got them closer to that 72 range. Okay, if the owners were at 48, the players were at 72, the meat in the middle is 60. Players came back and obviously are not interested in 60 games. I'll tell you exactly where they are. So Jeff Passan, ESPN's Jeff Passan. These are the details of what the Players Association, what their proposal was earlier today. So 70-game season from July 19th through September 30th. I'll just tell you from a personal perspective, love the 70 games. I mean, it sounds right. Like, it sounds like the right amount of games. It's not ideal. It's not perfect. You actually wish they were closer to 80 games, but under the circumstances, and we'll see if John kind of nails this one. Ireland mentioned last week he thinks it's going to fall at 60 games, what they'll eventually end up with. And I don't know if it's as easy as just saying, well, we want it at 70 games. The owners want it at 60 games. Perfect. We meet in the middle. Everybody's good. We sing Kumbaya and we start talking about what the season's going to look like. I don't know if that's going to happen. Full prorated pay, of course, that's very important to the owners or to the players. This is what they're asking for with the 70 games. Spring training, June 26th to June 28th. And then probably this is my favorite part of what could happen for Major League Baseball is this playoff system. The extended playoffs to 16 teams, not just this season, but also next year. So 2020 and 2021, I know there's plenty of baseball purists out there that are saying, Al, please don't follow along with this 16 teams that get in. And I get it. You know, there's probably a lot of Dodger fans that are not trying to hear that there's going to be 16 teams coming into the postseason in just 60 to 70 games. That obviously that's dangerous for the Dodgers. I'm not too worried about the Dodgers. I think they're stacked enough to where they'll be fine, you know, come postseason. They'll be fine in the regular season. It's all the other teams that have something to worry about. But you do increase your chance of being eliminated. But that's where we are. So that's where we're sitting right now. We're sitting at, and the expanded playoffs, it's very simple why they're trying to do that. They're trying to make up for more money. That's the idea. Dr. Fauci has already said he'd prefer they don't play in October, that they just stay in September. September is when they end the season. Baseball is going to try and figure it out, but one thing you have to do before you get that far and we start talking all the details, get the deal done. John Heyman put out a tweet about an hour ago, insider at MLB Network. MLB owners, I love these tweets. I love how, I love the drama behind these tweets. MLB owners are so upset by the players' counterproposal, which is said for about $300 million more, that no response is expected to be immediate. time is obviously getting short, so hopefully it's not too long. Okay, that's John Heyman right there. And that's not me, you know, mocking Heyman by any means. It's just the, it's the comical part of the back and forth. MLB owners are so upset. Oh my gosh, we just, you really ticked off the owners. I don't think anybody cares. And frankly, I think they're caring less about the Players Association, even though I feel like most fans out there are siding with the players. They're also coming to a point where they say, stop the back and forth, figure it out. These dates, these days are critical. You know, if you're going to have a legitimate chance of playing out this season, every day is important. Don't you feel like for the last 2-3 weeks you keep saying, okay, by this week, that's it. That's going to be the cutoff. They got to figure it out by then. And then here we are, just continuing to drag out things. I expect that to happen, but I also expect that, you know, when it's all said and done, they are going to eventually find a way to get a deal done. We'll see when that happens. All right, ESPN MLB insider Buster Olney has some thoughts on the anger between both sides, that 60 games just won't be enough, and on this 16-team playoff format. If you want to be a part of the show, I'll keep the question very, very simple. Do you care anymore on getting these baseball updates? What I'm talking about, not me giving the updates on the show, but that you hear from the Players Association through the media. Then you hear from the owners through the media, and it's just this catfight going back and forth. Do you care about that anymore? Or do you pretty much, the next time you hear about baseball, you just want to hear it's happening or it's not? 877-710-ESPN. As always, I appreciate you guys tuning into the show. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Do you care anymore about getting baseball updates, or do you just want to know it's happening or it's not? Jess, how funny is this? Like, don't you feel like I've been doing this now? Because I have, right? Pretty much every day for the last 3 weeks. Just the back and forth bickering between both of these sides, and the fact that it always gets out to the media, I feel like I'm watching a reality TV show. What am I watching here? What am I reading here every day?
I mean, think about it. It was when Kirk on, it was yesterday.
Kirk was yesterday.
And it feels like it was 3 days ago when we were at the verge of having baseball back. And
well, remember, we were doing the prepping. Mm-hmm. Right when we were doing the prepping, and we're
John
all
Heyman
on the show.
Started tweeting everything out. Mm-hmm. He was being the Shams of MLB.
And there you go. That's a good comp right there. But this is where we're at. this is how it is in Major League Baseball. And I still stand, and it's almost like I don't even have a hesitation. I think they're going to still play. You know, like I don't think that, you know, this is not going to happen, or they're 10 games apart. Maybe they meet in the middle. Maybe they don't. And I'll go to the expert on that, Marley Rivera, coming up at 7 o'clock. But it's just comical. You know, we're doing the same song and dance. And when I read off, you know, Tony Clark's statement, and then Rob Manfred comes right back, you guys were just together. You know, what was it, on Tuesday, Monday night, whatever it was? No, Tuesday, they were together all day. And they, you know, the way they leave that meeting together or separately, but you would think they'd be on the same page. Still nothing.
Yeah, and it's
still nothing.
I think that's the frustrating part, is that we know it's going to happen, so mm-hmm. we're just waiting for, you know.
But these days are important. That's the thing, is, you know, yesterday, Bob Nightingale had put this out, and I know there's a few other reporters that put that out. They had 71 days to finish off 60 games. That's where it was, right? Like, when you worked out the math and the numbers, yes, can they play some doubleheaders? I heard Mark Teixeira on Mason and Ireland a little bit earlier today saying, yeah, that's exactly what baseball players want. They want doubleheaders when they're already cramming the season. And I think there's health experts that are saying, yeah, you're not playing two games in one day. So we'll see how it plays out. Let me grab a quick call here. Stevie in Harbor City, appreciate you calling to the show, bud. Go ahead.
Hey, Sliwa, thank you for the line here.
The
baseball's not relevant. On the account that, you know, when we were youngsters, we would have baseball cards. We would kind of follow the baseball players with some of the stats that they had. And, you know, now it's really like a made-for-TV type of an event. You see that the stands are not, people are not going to the games like in certain markets. And I believe that's because it's more relatable to, you know, like going to a sports bar and experiencing that where you can just, if the game isn't really happening and the teams aren't that good, you don't have that much invested. You have a cold beer and like a nice little game to watch. So what's your take on that?
You know, I think, Stephen, I appreciate you calling in. That's a good question to bring up to other listeners out there. Stevie says baseball is actually irrelevant. You agree with him or do you disagree? And I know there's some passionate Dodger fans out here, obviously in Los Angeles. 877-710-ESPN. Is the sport just no longer relevant? I'm going to disagree with that, and I'll tell you why I'll disagree. I think it definitely has a home. Now, could it be bigger? Yes, it can. Does the sport get in its own way most of the time? Absolutely, it does. But there's something about baseball. Baseball has its own piece of the pie where going out to a game means something. There are a lot of people that have incredible memories with their dad or with their families just going out to a game, sitting in the bleachers, or just that experience of heading out to a day game. I still think baseball actually has that cachet. Now, everybody knows, you know, if you listen to me, NBA is my sport. Basketball is my sport. I love basketball. And growing up down in San Diego, you know, it was different. It's not like there were all these unbelievably successful years with the San Diego Padres. No, LA is Dodger fans. It's bred in them. And there's many Dodger fans throughout. The one thing I'll say about baseball, which hurts it, it's so long. You know, I think 162 games. And when you're saying some of these ballparks are empty, well, listen, if your team's not good, I don't blame for some of these fans not to go out and support their team. That's what it's all about. I mean, yes, you want to go out and through the thick and the thin, you want to be there for your team. But of course, if the Miami Marlins aren't playing good baseball, don't expect that, you know, that stadium to be full. If the A's or, you know, I'm just naming off cities where you know that you've seen that they've struggled with their fan base. Well, yes, a lot of it has to do with you got to be successful. Now, is Boston a different sports market? It is. Is LA a different sports market? 100%. Chicago, New York, there's certain sports, St. Louis, there's certain sports markets that baseball means everything to them. I don't think it's irrelevant. I don't think it's irrelevant. But what I will say is moments like this, it doesn't help the sport. Jess, if I tell you right now, if we're talking baseball, and I say, Jess, give me your thought process on the current state of baseball. Are you going to say something positive, or are you probably going to say something that, you know, I don't know how good of a taste you're going to have in your mouth when I say talk to me about baseball?
Alan,
maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, it's just frustrating. And I go back to...
But look how you started.
I was originally going to just play this.
Come on, kids, hurry up.
But I was trying to, you know, lean my way into it. Because ultimately, that's how I feel. It's the old man shaking his head. Come on, hurry up. Hurry up. Jeebus.
That's where we're sitting. You know what I mean? Like, that's where we're at. What if I said, Jess, talk to me about the NBA right now. How do you feel about the NBA?
Is it July 31st yet or July 30th?
Think about how different.
Are we about to start? Come on now.
Think about how different the perception is. And I've said this from the beginning. I do feel if they do come with an agreement, you know, whenever that happens, I do feel, look, if you're a fan of the game, you're still going to watch. If you're a Dodger fan, and I know that there might be somebody out there right now saying, you know what, baseball's stupid, this is taking too long. I get all that. We're all, you know, a lot of sports fans are frustrated how baseball is handling this. But I do think once it comes back, you're still going to watch baseball. If Dodger baseball starts in late July, Jess, are you going to be watching when Kershaw starts the season for them and then Bueller's right after and then David Price and then Julio Rios? Like, you're going to be watching Dodger baseball. You're going to be curious about Mookie Betts. Obviously, it's going to be something that, yes, you're frustrated with, but you're still going to watch the sport. But damn, there have been some opportunities. It's almost like the sport doesn't want to grow. They don't take advantage of.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's just frustrating because I get mad every time we talk about it just because it's – just bring it back. We all know regardless of what happens, it's going to happen. So just, you know, stop using the media to agree – get everyone in the room. I think Mark Teixeira said this a couple of days ago on Get Up. I think both sides need to get into a room and figure this out, because
they did. right after he said that, Rob Manfred and Tony Clark got together, and it was, you know, I remember
but
yesterday
means they
saying,
locked into that room. They can't escape until the deal is done. That was a problem. All of a sudden back to square one.
Back to square one. The cat fight starts. All right, let's hear real quick from Buster Olney. So ESPN MLB insider Buster Olney talks about there's still a lot of anger. What a surprise on both sides.
I don't think they'll lose the leverage of this moment, you know, because I do think because of how this has played out, the incrementalism of the owner's offers, the players being accessible to fans on social media, I think they have the support, generally speaking, of fans. But guys, if there's no baseball, in the end, you know, it would be the players going back out on the field in uniforms in front of the fans. And I think there is a lot of building anger toward both sides.
That's Buster Olney on the anger on both sides. What a shock, right? Like what a shock and a surprise. You spend this time trying to negotiate something and not get it done. Of course, there's going to be frustration. Okay, this is the big question of where we're at. The big question now it comes down to, how many games is Major League Baseball going to play this year? Think about how far off they were too. One offer was 48 games. The other one was 114. I mean, it is also comical too how far away they started from each other, and it's just every day being wasted. Okay, let's just play with that. Currently, we're sitting at 60 games to 70 games. So they've got this far where they're 10 games off. Here's 10 games off. Here's Buster Olney on if 60 games is enough or not.
I don't think, based on what I was hearing last night, that 60 games is going to get it done. You know, will the number have to be 68? Will the number have to be a 70? But I think among most folks on the player side that I was hearing from last night, it was, we need more. And they're also hoping that there are going to be bigger picture mechanisms put in place to help free agents in the fall to address larger issues for the players before they get an agreement.
You know what's what we spent the last couple days talking about is, look, the NBA is going to have challenges of getting this thing done, right? We know that. They're going to have challenges in this Orlando bubble. And we don't know what those challenges are going to be, but we're just assuming that you have to imagine people test positive for COVID-19. Does it become rampant or can they control it? Dr. Anthony Fauci said yesterday on CNN, talked about his concern with football playing it out. And later I'll talk about that on the show. Literally, you know, was talking about how football is the perfect setup to spread the virus. We haven't even mentioned any of those challenges yet for baseball, but we got to get over this hurdle. We got to get over this step. One of my favorite things, and I'll continue to harp on, and maybe I'm on an island by myself, I love the 16-team playoff format. I really do. I genuinely do. I do think that is going to add an element to the game where a number of cities across the country will be excited about their team because they got a chance to make the postseason. All right, maybe it's not ideal. Maybe purists of Major League Baseball, they don't want to see that. But someone like myself that feels just the more Major League Baseball games we have, the more exciting it could get. And the more cities that are involved, you're going to have fan bases that are really stoked about this shortened season, but still a shot to win it. We'll see what happens. Last thing, Buster Olney, on the 16-team playoff format.
16 teams, potentially, if that's where the final number lands on, and I think that would be especially appropriate for this year to widen the playoff field, given the fact that it would be a shortened season. You could still play it within the current framework that we have, although that first round, how'd you like to be like a number one seed if you're the Yankees, you're the Dodgers, and I'm speculating on this part. I'm assuming that first set of games is going to be like a best of three. So it would be like number one seed against the number eight seed, you know, potentially playing three games in a four-game window before you move on to the next round. That would be something. If, in fact, they can agree to a deal, it would feel like a NASCAR restart and how accelerated everything would be and how you know, how big of a deal it would be for a team to lose three straight games or four straight games. It would be unlike anything we've ever seen before.
And that, by the way, would be extended playoffs for not just this season, but also next year. Why also next year? Even if they play 162 games, it would be for both years because they're trying to make up some ground. Purely financial and economics is why they'd have 16 teams this season and next year. So we'll see how that all unfolds. I'm very excited. I don't know if you guys have got a chance to hear Marley Rivera. She's a national baseball writer, plus a reporter for ESPN. If you've heard her before, I think she's been on Mason in Ireland. She's fantastic. She's absolutely great, and her insight on baseball is fantastic. So I encourage you to stay here. Marley Rivera coming up. Don't stay for me. Don't stay for me. Stay for Marley. All right? Stay for Marley. She's coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. I'm very excited to welcome in Marley Rivera, national baseball writer plus reporter for ESPN. Marley, thank you for taking the time of doing this. I'm sure you've done many of these interviews hoping for the day that we get baseball back officially. We're still not there yet.
Well, thank you for having me. I have to tell you that, yes, absolutely. It is certainly the most common question. And trust me, it isn't only about being asked about it. I can tell you that I probably have been asked not only by media members, but by baseball players if we're having a season. So it certainly is it's a pleasure for me to talk to you.
Well, I will ask this. This is probably the first question. This is the way I started off the show. Just out of curiosity, why do you think so much of these negotiations are made public? I don't know how that helps. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. But just your view on that, because you know, I'll just use yesterday as an example. And you know, here we are sitting today. So much just continues to get leaked where I feel I don't know how that's advantageous for the league. But your thoughts on that?
I completely agree with you. I don't think, you know, if your point is that it isn't advantageous, and especially one of the things that Tony Clark has used as the union chief of the Players Association ever since he took that role, was the fact that he said, I'm not using the media for negotiating, and I am not using the media for these kind of purposes of, you know, providing information. And it seems like at this time, that's what Major League Baseball was doing. Most of the time, the leaks were coming from the league side. And I certainly understand it is your business, right? You want to get your business back up. And not only that, baseball is the sport of the summer, right? And technically, I guess we're not in the summer, but I think you know exactly what I mean. Like, this is the time when we're supposed to be talking about baseball. And I think it kind of backfired. They were trying to keep baseball in the front of people's minds because obviously there's no games. And, we're staying up late watching some Korean games, but that's sort of, all we have right now. And I do think it backfired. Completely wrong to negotiate through the media because look what happened. And you alluded to something very, very specific, which is the fact that, the commissioner had to walk back, certain comments. I mean, he went on ESPN and talked to our colleagues, right? Not only to Ravitch, but also, to Greeny. And he said specifically, I am 100% sure there will be a season, and about face a week later saying, I am not sure. So this is what happens when you kind of try to negotiate through the media. And I think that hopefully Major League Baseball has learned its lesson, but who knows? I mean, it seems like we're getting a leak every other day.
I think not yet. They're not yet to have learned their lesson. They're gonna drag that one out a little bit longer. Marley Rivera, national baseball writer plus reporter for ESPN, taking some time to join the Sliwa Show. Marley, it sounds like just to hear from how things have unfolded today, miscommunication maybe between Rob Manfred and Tony Clark when they met in Arizona. How does that happen? You know, when I say that, and
I don't.
I want baseball to come back, and I think most fans are at a point where they kind of just want to say, all right, well, just tell us when you're done, one way or the other. But, you know, to have, again, it goes back to the media, and now they're kind of bickering through statements or Twitter or whatever the case is. But it just kind of, I guess, shows that miscommunication has been the foundation of this relationship between the Players Association and the owners.
Miscommunication is the word, my friend. I think it's lack of communication, the foundation of this relationship. And one of the things that happens between Major League Baseball and the union, right, which is a very, very common thing that happens between, unions like labor unions and, businesses is a very common thing, is that their communication can be really tough, particularly because the last 3 years, the last collective bargaining agreement that the union agreed to was a complete disaster. right? And they made a complete mess of this agreement, and it has really, really affected the players. So a relationship that had already eroded, just basis of, you know, you're a union and the other one is a business, it's actually further eroded. The last 3 years have been brutal for this relationship. And then now we're in the middle of a pandemic. So I think what happens is you can't really focus because you have so much baggage. And these two sides have so much baggage. So you're not going from miscommunication. You're going from zero communication to actually trying to do some sort of communication. I understand the point of view, you know, I understand that people may think it's miscommunication. I don't think so. I think it was pretty clear, you know, but one of the things that Rob Manfred and Tony Clark are going to do is represent their side in the best way possible. And Major League Baseball wants it to look really, really good. Like, look at Rob Manfred. He got on a plane. He went, he's the one who went over to Arizona. He's the one who crossed over to the other side and extended, you know, this olive branch. But then what happens? You know, they release a statement that doesn't agree really, supposedly, with what they had talked about. It was supposedly a framework. And one of the very important things that we have to remember is that even though Rob Manfred speaks for ownership and speaks for the 30 Major League Baseball teams, and Tony speaks for the entire constituency of, you know, 40-man roster baseball players, at the same time, they don't live in a bubble. All the decisions that they make have to be approved by their constituency. So by rule, last night, they couldn't have agreed to anything. So there could not have been an agreement because it needs to come. The owners have to vote on it. The players have to vote on it. But it's exactly what you said. If you keep, you know, legislating and negotiating, you know, this kind of stuff through the media, this is what happens. And everyone looks like a fool. So it's just, you know, it's a waste of time. Couldn't agree with you more when you say that fans are tired. And all they want is baseball. So just tell me, it's almost like there was a great tweet by one of our friends who covers the Chicago Cubs. And one of the things that he said, his name is Paul Sullivan. And Paul Sullivan wrote, you know, we know where, just tell us when. The players keep saying when and where. We actually know where it's going to happen. Now just tell us when.
Okay, so as the dust settles here, Marley, do you feel we're close? I mean, you know, one offer was 60 games. Players come back, ask for 70 games from July 19th through September 30th. Are we, at least from an optimistic perspective, do you feel, okay, well, we're as close as we've ever been. This will just continue, hopefully not too much longer.
I believe that we are at the finish line. I actually believe that these two sides have to be smarter than they have been right now. And one of the things that they can do is actually dominate the media and the airwaves. So if you take the next 24 hours to make this decision, right, and try to do it by tomorrow, then people will be talking positive things about baseball all weekend. When baseball really isn't in the consciousness of anyone right now, it's very, very difficult for people to think of baseball, not only because of the bickering and the fact that we don't have a season, but also people are getting excited about, you know, what's going to happen with the NBA. You know, these games are going to get restarted. So, you know, the attention is elsewhere. If they're smart, they'll do this within the next 24 hours and actually get this stuff done and then, you know, move on from there. But yes, I do believe that there is a finish line.
Marley Rivera, national baseball writer plus reporter for ESPN. Nice enough to join the Sliwa Show. Marley, with that being said, what do you think they'll come to as far as games? You know, they're 10 games off right now. It's the closest that they've been. What do you think they settle at? Is it just meet in the middle, or how do you think that part plays out?
I don't think that the players – there is a part here that both sides, which is really, really bad, and I'm on the record as being on the player side very often, but I will give this criticism to both sides. And it's, you know, it's what we've talked about. You know, stop doing unrealistic offers, right? The first offer that the players did was completely unrealistic, you know, for 100 and something games. And then the other unrealistic offer by the owners is telling you, well, I'm giving you 76 games, but you're only going to make 40% of your salary, right? Yeah. So those are just completely unrealistic. So let's get real here. And I maybe down the middle, maybe the number is 65. Now, the difference is that we see it, right? The lay people, you and me, we see it, it's just two games. You know, it's five games. It's 10 games. The difference is that 10 games are hundreds of millions of dollars.
Sure.
And here,
sure,
you know, we have to talk about dollars and cents. So I do think that it will be closer. You know, it will be down from 70, but I don't think that we get past 65.
Marley, if they do get this done, let's say in the next couple of days, or let's say by Monday, I'm just speaking hypothetically here. Do you think all that noise that went towards, you know, there's been a lot of negative noise, or there's been a lot of, from a media perspective, fan perspective, come on, guys, you got to get it done. Don't complain about this right now in the middle of a pandemic and all these other things that are going on. You know, be a little bit more proactive. Other sports have made it happen and you still haven't. If and when they agree and we have baseball again, do you think it's one of those things where most fans and media will just turn the page and say, okay, sounds good, let's roll?
I really hope that that's what happens, but it's not going to. One of the things that it's very important right now, I actually was speaking with one of my colleagues just a couple of hours ago. One of the things that we were talking about was precisely that. And right now, the union should not be negotiating a collective bargaining agreement, right? That should be done at the end of 2021. Right now, we should be focused on putting up some sort of, you know, season if the pandemic allows, because the focus should be on the health and safety of everybody involved. But if the pandemic allows, let's put up a season. But I don't think so. I think the wounds are so deep, and I think there's going to be a little bit more salt and a little bit more vinegar. But the good thing about the players, and this is what, you know, what's good about it, is that once they take the field, that doesn't matter. And I do think that the fact that we are not going to have fans in the stands, very likely, right? I'm not making that a statement because it hasn't happened. But very likely that we will not have fans in the stands will contribute to that. Because at least, you know, when there's fans, there's distraction and there's stuff to get engaged with. The players will not have that. So I think that those wounds are going to be there until the end of the season. They will play nice. They will go through the playoffs. They'll go through the motions. But no, I don't think the healing has happened. And I don't think it will till after 2021.
Marley, the structure, I'll just ask you just about the expanded playoffs. Are you a fan, 16 teams, and this would not just be this season, also be next year as well. What are some of the negatives, the positives of that? I know I've kind of spent some time thinking that this could be great because now you have just a number of cities that can feel good about their team having a chance in the postseason.
That is the number one. I think that's also what feels great, right? Like I'm sort of tired of it being, you know, the same teams every playoff, right? Yeah. I'm ready to see some other teams. Now, I know that people in LA are probably like, really? Like, you know, we love the Dodgers winning every year. Of course, you know, of course you love your team winning every year, but nobody else does. And then one of the things that happens is that this, on a short season, I like it better for this particular season. I don't know that I love it for 2021, but the reason why they're keeping it for 2021 is because it's about revenue, right?
Sure.
So you're going to make a lot more money this year, and then you're going to add a lot more money next year. Next year is going to be the money-making machine, right? We hopefully are in a point where the pandemic is completely over and we have a vaccine, and let's just dream of this wonderful moment that we're going to have for opening day in 2021, where we can have fans in the stands and it'll be fantastic. Those playoffs at the end of the year are going to be huge moneymakers. So that's the number one reason why that's there. The fact that I like him this year is, first of all, there's a short season. There's more games. So period, that's good. It benefits the players financially and it benefits the league financially. And that is very, very good. When we are around an industry, right? My job and your job, right? We depend on the sports industry to do well. And that is, you know, Major League Baseball doing well is positive for a whole bunch of people. Mm-hmm. So then in that sense, that's absolutely true. Now the negative, and it's funny, I'm going to quote a player who shall remain nameless. So that way he doesn't get a lot of hatred in LA because he happens to play in the NL West. He goes, we were talking together and he goes, but what is this? This is so unfair. Who wants to watch the Seattle Mariners play against the Blue Jays in the playoffs? So the players that are from teams that are highly successful and that have been to the playoffs many, many times, like the Dodgers, are going to be unhappy because all of a sudden, all these teams are going to matter, right? All of a sudden, Toronto, with three aces and a really, really young team, if they do bring up Nate Pearson, who is their number one prospect, and a huge, you know, pitching, you know, monster, young guy, if they bring
all of a sudden, they have a chance.
Toronto Blue Jays, who were dead. You know, like they matter in this new division, and the divisions are going to be fun. It's going to be nice to see the Yankees and the, you know, the Dodgers and everybody else and the Cubs playing against different teams. So that's going to be really, really fun. But, you know, so that's the pro and the con. The pro is a lot more money for everybody, good for the industry. It'll be solid. It'll be more baseball on TV for a lot of fans to enjoy. But then the negative is that a lot of people are going to think, well, this isn't a valid season because all these teams that really shouldn't be in the playoffs are now. But you know what? I love it. I think it's fantastic. I'm going to have a good time. I'm tired of covering the same four teams in the playoffs.
and you're 100% right. You know, Dodger fans, first of all, if it's 60 games, 65 games, 70 games, that smaller sample size, now all of a sudden team can get hot. That's not going to help the Dodgers. You have, you know, if the first round is best of three, of course that's not going to help the Dodgers. So it is a wacky season, but I think this is just, you know, this is a predicament that we're in. I mean, just think about all the circumstances. There's going to be baseball games without fans. Baseball is going to start potentially in July. The NBA is going to be in Orlando. They're going to have all the teams there playing in a bubble. The circumstances are completely different. So I'm with you that more teams, more playoff games is exciting. And we'll see some, we'll see new things that we really haven't seen before in the sport.
Yes.
I want to, one final question, Marley, I want to leave you with. Marley Rivera, sure. National baseball writer plus reporter for ESPN, joining the Sliwa Show. How confident are you, and this is just your opinion, that plan for Major League Baseball, just getting to the finish line, right? Once let's say, there's a deal agreed upon. We heard Dr. Fauci, who was on a couple days ago, was quoted in the LA Times just saying that he felt more comfortable that they're not playing in October, that they try and wrap it up in September. And we've also heard Dr. Anthony Fauci talk about how there could be a very good chance that football is not played this fall and in this winter. How confident are you that, you know, we'll get to a point where not only baseball, the green light is there, but that they'll actually get a chance to finish off this season in October and eventually crown a World Series champ?
I have to say that I'm hopeful. Mm-hmm. If we have to use the word confident, I am not. And I think that comes from the fact that I live in New York City, right? Mm. The fact that we had, you know, at one point, New York State has 30,000 deaths over this pandemic. And this isn't to put some sort of, you know, damper on this conversation or put it kind of sad.
It's a reality.
It's a very, very clear reality. Right. Mm-hmm. And no one has faced that reality in the United States like New York City has. And hopefully no one else will. Right? If everyone does their job, right, hopefully no one else will. And the problem is that I don't have optimism because of that. I saw what the last 100 days were in New York City. And I saw that, and things can change so quickly. So while I appreciate, you know, everyone thinking that there's a, you know, it's positive, it's wonderful. Maybe we'll have, you know, expanded playoffs. It'll be a lot of fun. But at the same time, what matters is what people like Dr. Anthony Fauci say, right? If he says, you know, this is going, let's prevent, you know, a huge disaster. We already have one in our hands with this pandemic. We don't have to make it worse. So I don't have any certainty, but I do have hope. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is one of those things, why not have hope? It's all we got, and it'll be fun, and I'm looking forward to it. So I am not allowing myself to think we will not have baseball in October. I am thinking that we will, but certainly the reality of what we've gone through in New York City informs my opinion, and it informs it in a very, very negative manner in that way. And I wanted to add one quick thing. Mm-hmm. When we were arguing, not arguing, we weren't arguing at all, when we were discussing before the division, actually we agreed quite a bit on that. When we were discussing the divisions and the shortened season, you know, what it would benefit, all I have to leave you with is the fact that the Washington Nationals were 19-41, 60 games in. 19-41. It has never happened that a World Series champion had such a record right in the beginning of the season. If the Nationals did that in the first 60 games, just imagine what anyone else can do.
Sure.
So it's going to be interesting, but let's see. Let's see what happens in the next couple of days. I truly, truly hope that they come to an agreement, and the best part will be that we flatten this, you know, ridiculous, horrible curve, and that we actually have some baseball.
Marley, outstanding stuff. Really appreciate you taking the time of doing
You're
this.
Too
You're
kind.
Great. No. Fantastic insight. So thank you for doing this, and I appreciate you joining the show.
No, thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure, and I hope all the Dodgers fans know the Angels fans. The Angels fans are very excited, and the Dodgers fans are like, come on! But hopefully we'll be talking the next time. Well, not the next time. Let me not put it that far away. But hopefully, you know, one of the conversations that we'll have this season, we'll actually have some games to talk about.
Of course. Of course. Stay safe, and thank you again, all right?
Thank you.
How good is she? It's great to have her a part of the show. It really is. She's fantastic. Her insight is great. And she's got a good point. You know, Angel fans are probably out there pumping their fists saying, all right, we got a shot to make the playoffs. Dodger fans are sitting like, we got to now deal with all these other teams. Dodgers will be fine. Don't worry about the Dodgers. Okay, I got a question for listeners out there. How is football possibly going to be played this fall and this winter? How is it possible? I want to spend some time on that when we come back. By the way, you got any ideas, throw them out here, because I think football is still trying to figure it out as well. Got some great stuff from Dr. Anthony Fauci on his thoughts from a football perspective. Plus, you got NFL Chief Medical Officer Dr. Alan Silas, who put out a statement simply because of what Dr. Fauci said. So a lot to still figure out from the NFL perspective. We're going to talk about that coming up next. As always, you want to be a part of the show, always feel free to call in. Thank you for tuning in. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Jess, you holding it down in the studio there?
Best I can, yeah.
You're holding it down. I need you to know that. There's a lot of moving parts behind the scenes, and you're making it happen. All I have to do is just sit here and run my mouth for a couple of hours, and I don't have to worry about anything. So thank you for what you're doing back there. You can only do so much. You know what I mean?
Like, there's certain things. Hurry up.
There's certain things. There's certain things you just can't handle. How good is Marley Rivera? How solid is she, Jess? That's
she was great.
Fantastic insight. You know what hit me? What she said towards the end there. You know, when I asked her how confident she was, and she said, "I don't want to use confidence." What I was basically referring to was confident that, you know, we'll get the opportunity. Not that the players and the owners are going to agree to a deal, but that the next hurdle is going to be, once they finish this part, will they be able to finish off the season, right? Like, that's of course going to be the challenge. And I'm going to talk about the NFL, and we'll get into all that. But what hit me, Jess, is when she said confident wasn't the right word, but she was hopeful. She was optimistic. She lives in New York. So she said, what I see in the last 100 days here in New York, I don't want to say confidence. Man, what a kind of a powerful comment. You know, we're sitting here in LA, and New York has went through something that, you know, they hopefully never have to go through anything like that. Hopefully there's no other state that has to go through anything, you know, that they went through specifically. And New York City specifically, I know there's, you know, different parts of New York where they were affected as well, but that's powerful stuff when she says something like that. You kind of, I don't want to say you forget, but New York was hit so hard, and now we're starting to see some different states kind of the cases rising. Hopeful. That's the word that she used. I think she said, Jess, I think that's the best way for her to describe it, and I think it's also realistic reality, you know?
Yeah, and I'm going to go back to the fact that it's hopeful. It's coming back. Just bring it. Show me the papers where all
and not even that, Jess. Jess, not even that. And we're not even talking about, I'm not even saying like baseball coming back. I'm talking about more baseball playing under COVID-19 circumstances. Like, that's the part where it's going to raise a lot of questions. You know what I'm saying? Like, we haven't even got to that part. And that should be the main thing. I'll give you an example.
Now I'm even more sad.
Well, you know what? It's
totally forgot about that.
Well, here's the thing. It's not, you know, sometimes I feel like this too. I feel like when I'm hitting on a lot of this stuff, I think it's very easy for listeners out there to just be like, oh, you know, he's being pessimistic. Bro, I have no reason to be pessimistic. I really don't. Like, that's not my intention at all. But there's a reality too. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reality. Maybe everything works out perfect. Maybe this Orlando bubble for the NBA, I don't think there's any such thing as flawless, but maybe it's as close to flawless as possible. But I also think it's, you know, it's fair to have concerns about it. I don't know how many times I've mentioned this in the last week. When Ireland said last week to me that, you know, folks was on with him and Ramona doing crosstalk, I think it was on Friday, and he said, you know, folks – have told him, be cautious. Be cautious, because it might look good on paper, but to execute it doesn't mean it's going to happen. I might write on a sheet of paper, I want to make $1 million by next year. Okay, it looks good on paper, but it doesn't mean it's going to be executed. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. Okay, I want to read this off real quick, because how is football going to be played? It's a very fair question. How is football going to be played this upcoming year? And I'm not talking about just the NFL. I'm obviously referring to college football as well. So I don't know if you guys know this. The University of Texas, they announced today that 13 football players have confirmed positive coronavirus test results, or are presumed positive. So let me give a little bit more details, and then I want to kind of stay on this football front for a second. So all 13 players are now self-isolating, and 10 more players identified through contact tracing are in self-quarantine but asymptomatic at this time, according to a statement from the university. You can catch all the details. Go to ESPN.com. You know they got all the details. In addition, 4 players have tested positive for COVID-19 antibodies. The school said, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says it does not know if antibodies can prevent a second infection, or if so, how long the protection might last. That's the University of Texas earlier today announced. We know earlier in the week, Houston Texans and the Dallas Cowboys have some positive tests. One of those players, Ezekiel Elliott, still don't know how that got out public information, because he said he didn't want that, or he'd mentioned how did this information get out. So Dr. Anthony Fauci was on CNN, and he was talking about the NFL. Let me read off just his exact quote. Unless players are essentially in a bubble, which we know at this point, MLS and the NBA are both in a kind of so-called bubble. Unless players are essentially in a bubble, insulated from the community, and they're tested nearly every day, it will be very hard to see how football is able to be played this fall. That's what Dr. Fauci said. If there is a second wave, which is certainly a possibility, and which would be complicated by the predictable flu season, football may not happen this year. In May, Fauci said football was the perfect setup to spread the virus. A lot of stuff there. All right? This is on the football front. You know, sometimes you want to just say like one thing at a time, one sport at a time. I feel like that's the case, Jess. It's like I just want to consume – get a little bit of information as I go and hope, you know, some positive news comes out. So I look back and I think about every time Dr. Anthony Fauci has spoken about, you know, what these sports are doing and how some of the ideas, if they're realistic. I think the NBA is the only one that I can remember where he said he liked the plan. Jess, I know you have that. Play what Dr. Anthony Fauci said about the NBA and their Orlando bubble.
I actually have looked at that plan, and it is really quite creative. What they are really trying to do, and I think they might very well be quite successful with it, is to create a situation where it is as safe as it possibly could be for the players by creating this bubble, you know, essentially testing everybody, make sure that you start with a baseline of everybody being negative, and trying to make sure that there is no influx into that cohort of individuals, and do a tournament type play. It's not the classic basketball season, but certainly for the people who are thirsting for basketball, who love basketball the way I do, it's something that I think is a sound plan. I was very pleased to see that the intent was not reckless at all. They really wanted to make sure that the safety of the players and the people associated with the players was paramount. So I think that you might be able to do something like that with basketball. Could you extrapolate that to some of the other sports? Possibly. I think they should look at that model, see how it works, and then, you know, take it from there. Maybe modifications of that for some of the other sports.
Okay, that's Dr. Anthony Fauci. This was about a week ago, maybe a week and a half ago. He spoke very positively about this bubble in Orlando. Okay, let me play off of that for a quick second. The NFL does have an advantage. There is an advantage for the NFL. There really is. And I actually would be more optimistic because of this advantage that the NFL has over some of these other sports. I'll get into that when we come back. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN. Look at Jesse coming in with a little Jay-Z right here. Making it happen in the studio.
That was just that was a quick draw there.
I love this beat. This is a fantastic beat. This is actually one of Jay-Z's best songs ever, in my opinion.
I don't know, man. I really fell in love with New York State of Mind.
This one, if you actually go back, you listen to every lyric. I mean, this is actually one of his Nas disses, which I hate because I love Nas. But it was just so good. And you know, we're talking about Tupac. It was Tupac's birthday 2 days ago, and we said, look, some of these guys, they're poets. You know, they're literally, you know, I know the proper word is lyricists, but there's nothing better than hip hop where there's some meaning behind it. There's a purpose behind it. It's not just, you know, trying to look cool. You know what I mean? So that's when you know I'm getting old, by the way. I'm definitely getting old. This is what happens when you start getting old. But I love the message that he had in this song. So fantastic. By the way, 710 ESPN wants to salute all of our frontline workers as part of our Thank You Thursdays, presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who is working as a healthcare provider, a firefighter, EMS worker, or a food service professional, nominate him or her today. Here's how you do it. Email the station, ESPNLAMarketing@ESPN.com, with your first and last name, city, and occupation, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter and include the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. Every Thursday, we'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift to include a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change, $100 gift card to Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shuturio.com. By the way, very happy to have Damian Haynes, who works as an EMT in Buena Park and Irwindale, coming up at 7:45. He is our frontline worker tonight on the Sliwa Show, and I'm looking forward to chat with him. And that's coming up here in less than 10 minutes or so. Okay, so what's the advantage that the NFL has? What's the advantage? You heard Dr. Anthony Fauci. I read that football is the perfect setup to spread the virus, and he thinks that football may not happen this year. Okay, that's realistic. That's okay. This is the world that we're living in. But the reason why I say the NFL has one advantage, this is the advantage that they have. We know this much. Major League Baseball will eventually get started. And let's say that's going to happen in late July. MLS, a lot of Galaxy fans out there, a lot of LAFC fans out there. July 8th will be the start for MLS. The NBA, we already got a date set. July 30th, they're going to be in this Orlando bubble. The one advantage that football has, college and NFL, they're going to have some data that we don't have right now. So they're going to be able, by the time, you know, the NFL looks to move forward, I know their season's going to start in September, and college football is going to be kind of under a similar time frame. I don't know if it's going to work. I know that, you know, when your health expert that is pretty much giving advice to the entire world says that that's the perfect way to spread the virus is through football. Okay, that's concerning. That's safe for it to be concerning. But I do think that part's going to be an advantage. What if MLS, this bubble, goes through and it works out flawlessly? Is it different than football? 100% it is. I know I can't make any of these comparisons apple to apple. But what if MLS happens and it's awful? Nothing works out the way it's supposed to work out. They have to stop it. They can't get this tournament done that they have planned that will run for a month and a half or however long it runs. They'll have some data. They'll have some information. They'll be able to grab information from how Major League Baseball does, how the National Basketball Association does. So at least the one thing NFL has on its time or on its side is time. The NFL chief medical officer, Dr. Alan Silas, he made a statement. Of course, he's making that statement because when the health expert is talking about your sport and whether you're going to he's not confident that it's going to happen. Here's NFL chief medical officer, Dr. Alan Silas, on how to help mitigate the risk.
Well, I think there are a number of things you can do on game day. First and foremost, again, is look at the layout of the field, how many people are on the field, how many people are exposed to each other, and can we actually distance some areas of the field and keep people apart? So we think that's important as a first step. We're certainly looking at things about sterilization of equipment and everything, either down to the game balls and how we use that. And then I think you probably have heard in the media some reports that we are looking with a group of engineers very creatively at the possibility of some extended face shield mask type options that might be part of the football helmet. Because, again, we think there may be some things that we can do there to mitigate risk from a respiratory standpoint. And then, of course, throughout all of this, you have to continue to emphasize things like good hand hygiene, hand washing, and avoiding touching contaminated surfaces. So we're really looking at the entire game day experience, from who's present to what they do to what they touch and what the sterilization procedures are, and looking at that through the lens of how can we mitigate risk. That's what this is all about, is what can we do to reduce the risk for every single person that's involved in that team environment, both on game day and outside the game day.
All right, final one I want to play from NFL Chief Medical Officer Dr. Alan Silas. Are you concerned with Dr. Fauci's comments?
And I think what we have to recognize is that we're going to keep in very close contact with the public health authorities, and we're going to respond to the situation at that time. We're not just going to put our heads down and say, here's what we're going to do, and we're going to ignore all those realities. And I think you've seen that approach throughout. For example, with the NFL draft, we looked at that and said, okay, here's what we'd like to conduct. This is an event we'd like to do. How can we do that? And at the same time, still respect the current public health policies and adapt to what's being asked of everyone at this time. So we'll take that same approach whether we're in July or October or January. We have to monitor what's going on the pandemic overall. We have to stay in close working relationship with public health authorities. And again, we have to adapt football to the virus, not try to adapt the virus to football. And so that's the challenge, and that's what we're working very collaboratively with the NFL Players Association and with our infectious disease experts and others to try to do.
I'm going to hopefully rely that NFL does adapt, because here's the reality. They are kind of, their chest is out. They kind of feel like, nothing can stop us. They were very fortunate that the draft went okay, free agency went okay. Give them props, give them credit. But that's not NFL football, where X amount of players are on the field together. Coaches are there as well. You're hitting each other left and right. You're breathing in each other's faces. You're sweating on top of each other. NFL obviously has got some major adjustments, but we'll see how it all plays out. Okay, very, very excited to bring on Damian Haynes, EMT in Buena Park and Irwindale. We are proud to salute all of our frontline workers, and he's going to be our frontline worker tonight. He's coming up next. Stay right here. Sliwa Show, 710 ESPN.